Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
And here we go, Digital Adele back with another Digital Adele Hoops Beyond the Backboard podcast for you with my co-host, Matt Hannafin. How you doing, Matt? It's been a long time since I've seen you last.
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. I want to take a minute just to explain to the audience. I apologize for the absence of the podcast. That's all on me. It has nothing to do with Matt Hannafin. Except for he was probably sitting here one day just wondering where I was. I got a lot going on in my personal life. I apologize, y'all. You know, I got a full-time job as well as a family and other issues with my health. So I'm working through that, and I'm going to try to be better for this second half of the college basketball season. I can't believe we're just now finishing rookies only this far into the regular season.
It was around this time last year because we were just doing one per, right?
Yeah, that's true. We doubled up this time, so yeah. That's a good point. We have at Al. What? I can't see your name. Alan. That's right. It's Alan. He just put NMBR. What does that mean? Am I too old to know what that means?
Number.
What is it? Why? Why post this number? I feel like it's the Da Vinci Code. And we're in for a conspiracy ride. But no, thank you, Alan, for joining us today. We're here today to talk and finish up our rookies only segment for the year. We're doing the Utah Jazz, the 2025 rookie class for the Utah Jazz and the Washington Wizards. One of the two most interesting drafts there have been for a variety of different reasons in this class. Now, there's been other teams that have drafted, I'd say, better. But I wouldn't say there's been a more interesting draft amalgamation of pieces than what the Utah Jazz have done and what the Washington Wizards have done. So let's start with the Utah Jazz, Matt Hannafin. They've drafted for their first pick the much maligned Ace Bailey during the draft process. I mean, some of that was self-inflicted. I mean, he dropped the scissors on his own foot. Whatever you want to say, but he injured himself in the process. And I think a lot of teams shied away from him because of the way he handled. When I say a lot, he didn't fall out of the top 10 or anything, but I mean, amongst the elite of the elite prospects, people shied away from his attitude. What were your thoughts on Ace Bailey? How do you think his comments affected his draft status, and how has he played this year?
I mean, it was a lot of like his agent, and then shortly after the draft, he fired his agent, who was it? Sharif Cooper's dad? Is that who it was?
I think so. Yeah.
It was a very like weird, peculiar draft process. I don't think he had a single workout. I know there was one. I think he scheduled in Philly that he didn't attend. But if there was one man who was not gonna care about any of that stuff, even about his comments about the Utah Jazz, or at least alleged comments.
Right.
It's Danny Ainge. And Danny Ainge, you know, swung for the upside at five. Bailey was, for most of the process, depending on how you felt about him, a top three, top four, top five prospect, and so he kind of was he fell within that range. But
right.
I don't think many of us expected Con Knipple, as much as we love Con Knipple, but expected Con Knipple to be taken over him for most of the draft process.
Right.
And that
we knew he'd
that,
be in the range, like right after Ace, but definitely didn't think he'd go before him for sure.
Right. And so, like, I think to your point earlier that, like, Ace Bailey, his team, whoever you want to blame, like, did kind of did that.
What's
to himself.
Up, Bentovia? Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, what's going on, Ben? And so that, I think that was a big reason why he fell to five, but
right.
I think really, like, I know the numbers don't pop off the page. He's only averaging 10 points, 3.5 rebounds.
Right.
And through 20 games with the Jazz, obviously, you know, they're one of the worst teams in the West. Lowry's been very good. Keontae George, Walker Kessler. I know he's played only played five games due to injury, but in those five games, he was really impactful. Bryce Sensabaugh, Filipowski, so on and so forth. Like, Bailey's kind of fit into that mix of like this young, youthful core. And I think he's in like a perfect role for him. And this was something that we kind of talked about a little bit. Like, you don't want him dribbling too much. You don't want him having too much ball handling responsibility.
Right.
And I don't think that's been the case with him at all. Like, he's more so in a role where he's kind of like, you know, a spot up threat, or he's only limited to one dribble.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, keeping the ball movement, doing stuff like that, you know, coming off of movements like, you know, around the arc and whatnot.
He's
like,
very much been a one dribble pull up guy this whole
Yeah. So it's season. Not like he, you know, he's not at the stage yet where he can attack closeouts
right
as aggressively as, you know, some of these other guys can and will do. His ball handling just isn't tight enough yet. And no. Like his role is very simplified to the extent of like, okay, now he's excelling in this role, or at least he has been lately.
Right.
And I think as time goes on, as his development continues to progress, they'll continue to add more to his plate. And I don't know. I've been like, I don't want to say impressed is the word to use, but like, I'd pleasantly surprised maybe, because I didn't know if they
That's
would
a good way
utilize
to
him in that role, considering how bad their team actually is.
Right.
And I don't know. I think they're doing a good job with it.
No, I think they're doing a good job with him as well. I think it's going to take them a while to figure it out. Bentovia says, Will Hardy's a big proponent of off-ball movement. Big reason why Lowry has ascended to Utah. Great coach for Ace, in my opinion.
Yep.
No, you're absolutely right about that, Bentovia, because one thing about Ace Bailey in college, he takes a lot of tough shots, a lot of difficult shots.
Yeah,
he isn't great at separating and creating a ton of space. And he's very skinny. He's not super strong, very wiry. So it's going to be difficult for him in his rookie season to be that ISO type player that he wants to be. And so for him to have a coach that promotes off the ball, which he can do, and limit his dribbles, I think that is going to be really great for his development. The defensive end is still an adventure with Ace, and not because of his physical gifts, but, or, you know, he doesn't lack physical gifts. It's really more of his desire, want to, and focusing on that aspect of his game. But I'm, you know, for the, what was he? The fourth pick?
Fifth pick.
Yeah. He was the fifth pick, 'cause Khan was the fourth. And, I'm really pleased with what they have in him long-term. I just hate that it's Danny Ainge who took him. I don't want to root for Danny Ainge. I don't want to have to watch Utah Jazz basketball and stare at Danny Ainge when they pan the camera to him five times a game. But that's neither here nor there. But I do think he's worthy of his draft position. I do have concerns, though. I know we're trying to blame the agent, but I always point back to this interview when they asked him, Ace, what do you got to work on coming into the league?
Oh,
what
yeah.
You need to shore up. And he said, I ain't got no weaknesses. That didn't sit right with me, because he definitely has some weaknesses. I'm all for confidence and bravado, but you got to make sure that you prioritize, that bravado in some sort of way.
Self-awareness, is that the word you're looking for?
Self-awareness will go a long way. Yes, self-awareness. We do not need any more Dion Waiters in the league. Absolutely lacked self-awareness.
Dion Waiters just took a crazy ricochet shot there.
Yes, he did.
Just a wild.
Sniped him.
Unabashed. Maybe not unabashed.
Walter Clayton Jr. was their next pick. Undersized to me, 6'2", guard. I said this coming out, and people are like, he can get downhill in the league. Yes, in a straight line or coming off a curl, he can. Very much so. His left and right game isn't really that great off the bounce, but he can get downhill. He's a little bit more athletic, bouncy in the league than I thought he'd be at this level. I mean, I saw him dunk in college, but he rarely did it. So to see him actually do it more often in the league is a hearty sign for his ability to finish around the rim. His three-point shooting, phenomenal as always.
This year?
No, but his touch it's going to come.
Oh, okay.
Like, his form is fine. His balance is always perfect. He's going to be okay in that area.
Sure, yeah.
Facilitation, he's pretty good at running the offense. But I think he's a career backup. I think he's one of those guys that is always going to just be a role player. I don't think he really has, in my mind, a path to starting in the NBA. Doesn't really defend great. Screen navigation isn't great. Not a fan.
I don't want to limit his ceiling in terms of like a starter or backup, because I think on like a, at least, in a few years, I think he can start on a bad team. But I'm kind of with you in the sense, like, I think in his limited minutes this year, I've been a little bit more like impressed with his playmaking, his processing, than I, previously was. His rebounding, I don't think has been terrible, albeit again, in a limited sample of games, limited sample of minutes. But his 3-point shooting, like in the games where he's gotten run, has been okay, but he's still shooting only 8% from three this year. Like it's been a pretty, or 27. Regardless, it's been a pretty bad percentage, 38% from the floor. It's one of those things where it's like, I think if he consistently gets an increased role, I think he'll be okay. But like, if he's getting inconsistent playing time, not that he's getting inconsistent playing time right now, but I think if he has a larger role, I think he'll show more. I just don't think he's shown a ton yet. And I am very much worried about his, his defense, his athleticism, his shooting touch inside the arc, I think is a little bit concerning. Like, I think he can stop on a dime, but it's one of those things where it's like, to your point about like finishing around the rim, I just don't think he's like going to be a great finisher around the rim. I think he's still a below the rim athlete for the most part. Maybe that develops over time, which would be great for him. I think that'd be huge for his development, but like his shot is going to be like his telltale sign. And that's what it was, at Florida. I mean, he was such a good like clutch shot maker. We talked about how awesome he was in the tournament at Florida, but like he's going to need to be either a really efficient shooter or in a really efficient like playmaker, gritty guy. And I just, maybe perhaps both, to really get like a big role. And I think he could, as as the years go by. I just don't see that right now. Oh, did Adele leave? Well, moving on, Trey Johnson. It's kind of been a weird Trey Johnson season so far. I mean, this was pre-show, the hip flexor. He's, averaging 24 minutes a game. Oh, you're back?
Where did I go?
I don't know where you went.
Touch a thing. I was still there. My camera just disappeared and my mic disappeared.
Oh.
What the heck, man? Playback sabotaging the show. I'm going to send an email to headquarters. It was Ben.
Yeah, Ben told me you did it. Blame Ben.
Oh, my gosh. Because he said Walter Clayton Jr. is a future Heat. He knew I was going to say I disagree with Matt Hanifin. And he knew I was going to say I'm more pessimistic.
I caught a lot of heat. Not a lot of heat. No pun intended, but I did catch some heat pre-draft for saying that I wouldn't take there. There was like a, I don't remember, Like it was like Neek and a few other guys, like collection of older players that I would take over Walter Clayton for Miami.
You did.
And obviously the Florida bias.
On your back. Speaking of that, unrelated to our topic today, Neek Clifford untouchable by Sacramento. They said they won't trade him.
I mean, there should be more guys than just two.
I mean, Neek Clifford.
I'm mostly looking at you, Keon. I just want to touch on this really quick. I have no idea what the Kings are doing with Keon Ellis. Maybe they think they're going to lower his unrestricted free agent bag opportunity to where like they can re-sign him for cheap, even though they should have been like it, even though I think they didn't extend him the qualifying offer, or they didn't pick up whatever the case was. Like he's on this like weird contract. Cause I think he wasn't a first round pick. Anyway, it's stupid. I just like
free Keon Ellis is what you're trying to say.
Yeah. Free Keon Ellis, free Devin Carter, free Neek Clifford, get Neek Clifford out of that.
No, he's untouchable. He's untouchable. They said,
The Kings are weird. It's very funny watching Doug Christie be like, man, we got to play harder. We have to defend, guys. We have to defend.
Right.
And you're sitting maybe your best defender. But yeah, so Walter Clayton Jr.
that is Nevada bias if I've ever seen it, man.
I always feel the pressure to find the perfect gift for my relatives. In this case, whether you're sending an unforgettable gift or treating yourself to everyday perfection, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. For me, I'm not just into steaks. I like all types of meat. That's why I'll usually get the winter's bestseller pack. It comes with juicy fillets, chicken breast, pork chops, and even burgers. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of experience in the meat industry. Save big on unforgettable gifts with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and earn an extra 20% off select favorites during their cyber sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide plus an extra 20% off select favorites and more limited-time deals during their cyber sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Coming through for Neek Clifford on a podcast that has nothing to do with the Sacramento Kings. Hit the sounder.
Listen, I was coming through more for Keon than I was Neek there. No one wants to talk about my bad, dumb college. No, just kidding. I love them. Don't aggregate that.
Aggregate it. Let it get back to the masses.
I love
the Nevada masses.
It's going to be, I think, like a year where Walter Clayton's going to spend. He's not going to get a ton of run. Maybe late in the season once they start trading guys, but.
Ben Tovia asks, side note, why does nobody want Malik Monk? And I said, because he's only good against the Heat.
It's stupid too. Like they were trying to trade him for literally anything.
Bag of chips.
And every team was just like, nope. And it was just like, wait, this guy's like a really good player.
Not really good's very strong. It's a very strong word, Matt Hennepin. He's really good against the Miami Heat.
I think he's a good player in general. Every smart team should try to trade
him. He's a good player. He's not really good. He's not.
He is a very impactful player.
He's very inconsistent.
Who can impact any rotation.
He's very inconsistent, Matt Hanifin. You don't know what you're getting.
I mean, maybe in this Kings team, because the Kings stink and don't know how to use him.
I think he's been inconsistent everywhere he's been.
I don't think that's been the case the last couple of years.
I beg to differ. We'll get into that on another show. We got another team to talk about. We're not going to get stuck on Walter Clayton Jr. and Malik Monk. No, there's more. There's more. The Washington Wizards had a draft. They're not a very good franchise. Let's get that out of the way. They're kind of stuck in the mud. They've never really been a great franchise. They've had interesting players. They've had interesting storylines. But as a franchise on the whole, what have they ever really won? Whole lot of nada. whole lot of nada. But I like the young guys they were building. I said that coming into the season. I like Bub Carrington. I like Keyshawn George. I didn't like where they drafted him. And I thought he was going to be a bigger project, but his development has been unbelievable. I'm very impressed with his development. I'm very happy to say I was wrong. I've been wrong before. I'll be wrong again. But his development has been a pleasant surprise for me. And what they've added to that young core, that young mix of what they're doing. Alex Saar, the center, which we were very high on in the draft coming out, Alex Saar. They added Trey Johnson from the University of Texas. You know, unbelievable scorer in college, averaged 19.9 points per game. We found out some troubling news. Matt, whenever you guys lost me for a second, started to hit on that troubling news. And that is that he's out with a hip flexor. And he's been dealing with this hip flexor since college. He's just played through it. What are your thoughts on how that may have affected him and how that's affected him to start the season?
No bueno.
Very succinct.
It's not good, man.
That's all you got. No bueno.
I can't relate in the sense of like, I've never had a hip flexor injury, but like maybe that's why part of the reason why they've been managing his minutes. But even then, like
it explains
why play him anyway.
It explains a lot. Steve Fine, one of our regulars on the show, says Trey Johnson can definitely shoot the basketball without a hip strain. I believe, or is out with a hip strain. 2 to 3 weeks. Yeah, I agree. Here's the thing. They just had Trey Johnson stand in a corner. A lot. Watch CJ McCollum. Watch the ghost of Chris Middleton try to make plays in the low post. And it really didn't work well. But there would be stretches of the game where they would feature him and put him on ball, and he'd just start shooting the lights out, getting to the rack, getting to the foul line. Do you know Trey Johnson, out of all rookies, doesn't matter position, Trey Johnson is 11th in rebounding? Does that surprise you?
I don't know if
you?
That's a high bar, but...
More than Dylan Harper, more than Nate Clifford, more than Ace Bailey.
Are we talking per game or total?
More than Colin Murray Boyles. Yes, per game.
Huh. Because he's only averaging three.
Oh, it was surprising to you, Matt Hanifin.
He's only averaging three, though.
Does it?
Like, that's nothing.
Doesn't matter. It's more than these bigger name players in his class. I think it's pretty impressive. He's only averaging three per game, but it's more than all those other names I just named. And when you look at it, his 24 minutes of play are spent standing in a corner, which aren't conducive for getting rebounds.
Well, offensive rebounds, not defensive rebounds.
Either way, man. You know how disengaged a rookie can get when you just put him in a corner, not involved in the offense? His professionalism, his leadership, it's been there from day one. Despite all that, he's still averaging 11.5 points per game. He's still shooting 44.5% from the field and 39.5% from three.
Albeit on lower volume, but yes, those are still very good marks.
Lower volume, we know what he can do at higher volume.
Lower in the sense that, like, he's still getting up five threes a game, which isn't, like, insignificant.
No, that was good. It's decent volume for how they're using him. 5.1 attempts from three. He's getting his field goal attempts up, period. He's getting almost 10 shots a game. So he's still finding a way. But I think a lot of it's swimming upstream where he's fighting his, I hate to say he's fighting his coach. Stephen Fine says Trey is an excellent rebounder. You're correct. Brian Keefe is not running a good offense. You are also correct. You're also correct. Any other thoughts on Trey Johnson? Do you think they need to trade Middleton and McCollum to open up minutes for him? Do you think that they need to protect him from himself because he's not NBA ready in terms of his body? Like, no, I mean it for sure, because he's an overtrainer. And like, they are trying to rein him in from being on the basketball court 24/7 because he's going to break down. Like, that's what the coaches were worried about, that he's going to break down because of how hard he works. Do you think they need to give him a year to build an NBA body, or do you think they should just let him go full bore when he gets back healthy?
I mean, I would like to see him play a little more. It's a lot of, we're going to build CJ and Chris up before the deadline.
Try to get some picks.
Activity. Yeah, like you're. I mean, at least I don't remember what Chris's contract looks like, but in CJ's, he's on an expiring. So it's like, you know, pick up the phone and whoever like wants, you know, CJ McCollum for, you know, one season at this price or whatever. Like,
for peanuts.
I think some team is going to give up something for him. Maybe not CJ McCollum's significant
really
value.
He's really good.
He's a good player. And so like, I think that's Middleton, really the motive right now. And this is how it is with all bad teams with these kinds of veterans, especially ones who can still play and are in like playing shape, quote unquote. Like, you're not going to see a ton of the young guys until later in the season. Like, that's just how most of this goes, especially if they play an analogous position or like similar role or whatever to these guys who are getting, like CJ, like Chris, who are getting all this run. So like it was always going to be a little bit of an uphill battle for Trey, right? But like, he's going to get playing time if he's healthy at the end of the season. I don't have any like questions about that.
Would it surprise you if I told you Trey Johnson averages more blocks per game than Cedric Cowherd? More blocks per game than VJ Edgecombe.
I'd be a little, in VJ's case, I guess I'd be a little surprised.
More blocks than Kamon Mollowatch, but that's because he doesn't play.
I mean, yeah, Mollowatch isn't playing, so.
More than Hanson Young, Colin Murray-Boyles, Ace Bailey. Nick Clifford.
No, I'm just kidding.
Now that's a shock. We've only got a couple more minutes because we do have some other obligations. So we are going to get to Stephen Fine's last comment that he's made. Will Riley is a good player as well, mostly in the G League, though. That's where we differ.
Yeah, he's been in.
I don't think he's a good player. I think he may be able to develop a role in the NBA. I don't think he's a good player. Yet he could develop, but I don't think he's there yet. He's got a lot of deficiencies in his game. He's going to have to gain weight and get stronger. 100%. 100%. He's going to have to get stronger. He has a very awkward style. Very herky jerky. And so it throws people off, man, that haven't guarded him before. But I think his teams start to, you know, get a book on him and he gets on a scouting report one day, he's going to have to get better at his ball handling, because even though he does a decent job at getting to the rim, most of it isn't at how good he handles the ball. It's just they don't understand what's happening. And they're like, wait, why is this baby calf all over the place? Wait, how's he now at the rim? And he's 6'8", long arms.
Yeah, there were a couple times last season where like more so late in the season where he put a few nice combos together. But it's a lot of like, he's going to have to get stronger because he's just going to get stonewalled by these dudes at the NBA level if he doesn't bulk up. Yeah. He looks like me out there. That's not something you want.
But no doubt. I mean, it's one of those things where he's definitely going to have to find his way. His three-point shot is better than people realize, but also he's still very inconsistent with it. But his three-point weapon, in my opinion, is one of his better tools in his toolbox. But his cutting is probably his best tool in his toolbox. He's a really good off-ball cutter to the basket. That's probably his best skill. Defensively, we got a lot of work to do. I don't know where this accent came from, but we got a lot of work to do.
You from New York or something all of a sudden? You spend too much time in Pennsylvania.
Well, I will be. I will be soon. I'll be spending a lot of time in PA soon. But anyway, yeah, man, I just think he's got a lot of work to do to round out his game. The G League, they don't play any defense, guys. Let's take that with a grain of salt. One thing.
Not a ton.
One thing I wanted to point out about Kasper Shakachonis making his debut for the Miami Heat the other day. I said it in the Discord for five on the off the floor Discord for the Miami Heat on Five Reasons Sports. He is going to get his shot blocked a lot and pinned. In college, he played off two feet. Listen, in college, he played off 2 feet. In the pros, he's trying to rush everything because he's not athletic vertically. And so he's going off 1 foot trying to go quick. It works in the G League. It's not working in the league. And he got his first minutes. His first layup attempt got pinned. The second one, he smoked it because he tried to get it up there quick with the left hand.
And I wasn't, for our audience, I wasn't laughing out of like wild disagreement. I just think I agree. That's why. I never thought about that.
I think he was laughing maniacally.
I'm not. I promise.
I promise. But yeah, man, it feels good to be back, guys. Again, thank you for bearing with us through my issues. We're going to try to hit the regular schedule Tuesday through Thursday through the rest of the season and through the draft. And then we'll take another break in the offseason. But I mean, not a big break, but maybe go down to, we got to figure out how we're going to do that, Matt. Maybe in the offseason, we go down to like 1 day a week show, because we were really stretching it thin at some point in the offseason.
Well, after the draft.
Yeah, right after the draft, like, there was just this gulf of time where we just were like, what the heck are we even going to talk about doing a 2 day a week show? But we're going to go 2 days a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 6:30 p.m. I'll try to be better, but thank you for sticking with us. Matt, tell the people where they can find you, follow, and get more of your work.
You can find me at NPH_824_ on Twitter. You can see all of my bad tweets, not just some of them, all of them. You could also find me at hotoutoops.com, vedettasportsmedia.com, mountainwestconnection.com, OrlandoMagic on SI, in addition to playback.tv/5RSN and playback.tv/digitaladelehoops.
Where we're at right now. And I'm Digital Adele. You can find me on social media under that. Instagram, slightly different, digital_Adele. And yeah, find this podcast, download this podcast. If you have friends that love basketball and draft prospect talk, please send them our way so that way we can all be in the conversation together. That's all we got for today, guys. I'll see you next time.